Our sermon this morning is entitled God's Sovereignty and Human Responsibility Lies. And now, as my master never began to preach without first using a parable, so hear this. Most people have never seen a huge force explode near them. I have had the misfortune to be very close to three different B-52 strikes, very close to me, one of the greatest forces in a conventional war. Oh, what an incredible force there is in a B-52 strike. When six of these huge bombers dump nearly 500,000 pounds of bombs upon a 1.5 mile square area. These planes are flying over 300 miles per hour. They're usually 6 miles high. You can't even see them. Before in an instant, an incredibly destructive force devastates that area. Yes, the huge boom doors are open 5 minutes before the release of the bombs. Top secret radio silence ensues, preventing any communication with the pilots. They are so high that it takes nearly 5 minutes for the planes, for the bombs to actually reach the ground, which are also traveling at 300 miles per hour. Oh, I saw when these 500,000 pounds of bombs hit in the valley right below us. The whole valley was set on fire, over 1,000,000 degrees heat. Fully blown trees flew through the air like toothpicks. The smoke blocked out the sun. The noise broke your eardrums and blew debris up hundreds and thousands of feet into the air. Oh, it was an awful, awful, destructive experience, an unspeakable terror, an unbelievable force of power that no one would want to go through twice. But that explosion was but just one human-built weapon, bombs, 1,000 times greater is the nuclear bomb. But now this morning, we want to preach about a power that is infinitely more powerful. Oh, there can be no comparison with the almighty power of God in his sovereign omnipotence. God, the Almighty One, otherness, has the power to destroy the whole earth and the whole universe in 1/70th of a second. Oh, what a powerful force. He will destroy the whole earth, the whole universe, in 1/70th of a second, on the last second of the last day, before he comes on the clouds. Yes, and then he will recreate a new heaven and a new earth in another 1/70th of a second. Oh, is that not power? Is that not almighty power? What human can begin to fathom that kind of almighty power? For God simply spoke, and this universe was created immediately. He spoke again, and it destroyed this universe. He speaks again, and a new heaven and a new earth are instantly created. Yes, that's the power of God. And yes, nothing is more certain that it shall happen. All of these things shall happen. And the destruction of a universe is very easy for Almighty God. Yes, the universe, you can picture it, reverently speaking, as a playball which he created for his son. that there might be more praise, more honor rendered unto him, the Triune One. Yes, in the Almighty's hands, he who is otherness, far beyond our imagination or what we can possibly imagine, can do and does do exactly as he pleases. Oh, I beg each of us with tears to be like Job, who said, "Once I have spoken and asked, why? But now my eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Yes, Scripture tells us that in that instant the whole earth shall be dissolved into a fervent fire, and all evil will be cast into a lake of fire. Oh, what an incredible force I am describing to you this morning from the Almighty. No B-52 bombs, no atomic bombs. No, this is infinitely more power. No one could stand against those human weapons. Much less can you, O sinner, stand before otherness and infinite power. Otherness who simply by speaking a word brings it forth, for what he commands shall instantly come forth, and it shall stand fast. Yes, yes, that is real power, infinite power, otherness power, God power, triune power. And before that power, the context of our sermon of this morning, God swears upon himself, because he can swear by no greater. Every knee, every human knee shall bow before him. And this morning that we want to look at something of God's almighty power. Oh, come, let us bow down in the dust before his great throne of grace, where there is blood for forgiveness, there is an intercessor for forgiveness, and beg for his mercy to cover our sins in that precious blood of Jesus Christ. For there is no reason in you or in me for him to ever even consider us. We have sinned away all rights. No, it is mercy. It is all mercy, all grace, if we shall be reconciled with this almighty power of God, otherness. Now, our scripture for this morning is from Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 5. Hear the word of God. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what doest thou? Of thy work he has no hands. And then going down to verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. And down to verse 26, and there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior, There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Oh, thus far the reading of God's holy and precious word. We have seen the power of God, and yet puny, finite minds and men dare to stand up against this almighty power. In our sermon this morning, then, we will look at God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Our text will be from our scripture reading, verse 23b. Unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. We will look at this key point, bowing before a holy, righteous God, in two main points. Our first point will simply be the sovereign, almighty God. Our second point will be human responsibility. Who are but dust of the ground? Now, in our first point, God's almighty sovereignty and otherness. God has made you and me. He made every human with over 200 trillion cells in our bodies, all synthesized together to serve his purpose. Inside each and every one of those 200 trillion cells is the exact DNA in each one, which controls every cell and its synthesized relationship with all the other cells of our body, that God designed to perfectly follow his grand master blueprint, planned long before he began to create. Yes, now the 200 trillion cells in your and my body is an unimaginable huge number. If each cell of our body, which were the size of a penny, that would be enough pennies to cover almost every state in the United States. Yes, in medical studies, what happens within the body with just one breath fills a bookshelf. What happens in each heartbeat fills a bookshelf. Oh, then that this morning we may sink away in wonder and amazement in realizing that we are but dust. Yes, as a beast before the Almighty Creator of heaven and of earth. Yes, every living thing upon earth is made up of this basic component of cells. And who can begin to count that number? God does. God does every moment. God knows and feeds and fulfills the requirements of his covenant plan in each of those cells each moment of our day. Yes, as we said already, in each cell, God has placed that intrinsic spiral of DNA, which predetermines who we are and what we will be. Oh, it is complexity that we cannot begin to fathom. It's child's play for God, for every soul cell is perfectly knit together to serve our body, to perform his purpose for us. And yes, far, far greater is the complexity of our soul that God created within us, where he breathed into us life. Much more complex, yet as nothing before God. Yes, each of our cells are perfectly known by him, and he controls everything of time, of space, and of matter, every single moment. Oh, that's power. That's almighty power. That's the power of otherness. And contrast that, how insignificant we dust are in comparison to him and his unfathomable otherness. Spiritually, yes, in amazing grace, God has created humans as the crown piece of his creation and made his saints to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the process of regeneration, in regeneration, in the process of sanctification, and at the end of sanctification, yes, his saints will be just as holy as he is. Oh, remember that. You lose nothing by submitting and bowing your knees to a good God. Submitting under a good God makes us to grow in grace and in a power of God in his holiness. But allegiance to an evil leader always diminishes us more and more and more forever and ever. Yes, after we broke God's covenant in paradise, and yes, we did it, you and me were there in Adam, our covenant head. After we broke that covenant, God could have righteously not saved one person. He could have righteously destroyed the whole universe. And remember, he could do it in one moment. Righteously, he did not have to save one person. But by grace, he did in his son, in the blood of his son. Yes, though other natures did not fall, they too also had to suffer for the sins of human nature. Death entered the world into the animal, into the plant, into the bird and the fish life because of our original sin. Oh, Luther said it so accurately. Anyone who imagines they are a Christian and does not weep and lament daily over our original sin, where everyone could have been saved prior to that, and now God's word says only a few will be saved. Anyone who does not weep and lament over that bitter fact can question rightly if they are even a Christian. For the whole concept of God is that he is striving to make us holy. Holy in the blood of Jesus Christ. And through sanctification that we may be more holy today than what we were yesterday. Oh, is that your experience? Is that your knowledge that you have learned of the Beatitude way? And have you mourned that separation, that we lost our responsibility, we lost our ability to do good, we lost our ability to glorify God, we died spiritually dead, and we refuse to bow to Almighty God, who can forgive us For there is blood on the altar in heaven's palace, in heaven's, where the intercessor always is intercessing. Oh, every knee will bow to God. But what a difference if we bow on this side of the grave, or if we bow on the other side of the grave, where God shall break our knees in hell. Oh, it is too terrible to say, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, we must weep today, as we are eyewitnesses of the Lord destroying his corrupt Christendom today for the 32nd time. Look around at what an utter mess the world has become. Yes, not only the world, but Christendom has become, where they have believed 29 obvious open errors of Scripture. 29 errors, and imagine that they are Christians. Oh, repent today. Let us fall before God's throne. Let us bow at his footstool, bowing in that blood that can alone forgive us. Yes, just look around today, as clearly by their own mouth, 50% of Christendom today admits they are not following Scripture. And unless the Lord intervenes, the trajectory is that we will soon be over 90% who do not believe in the full inerrancy of Scripture and are openly embracing at least 29 doctrines that are radically different than those of Scripture. Oh, do you hear that condemnation from God's word? Oh, how our godly forefathers would thunder in horror at what Christendom has become today, openly, stubbornly, relentlessly become, refusing to bow before an almighty God. Oh, how much more then, if our godly forefathers are thundering, how much more God, who is alive, whose eye does rule over the whole face of the earth, sees our willful, stubborn, relentless sin. How much more God is thundering down from heaven today. Awake, awake, awake. Repent before me, bow your knees before me, your Creator, that I will not destroy you. But sadly, look around, we can see the utter mess that is well documented of Christendom, establishment Christendom today. Dr. Barna and thousands of researchers have researched this for the last 100 years. 100 years ago, 99% of Christendom believed in the full inerrancy of Scripture. Today, by documentation, by research, it is established clearly that amongst the millennials, who are the future church, who call themselves Christians, there is a 1% belief in the inerrancy of God's word. In 100 years, we went from 100% to 1%. Shall not the Almighty render judgment for that? We see it happening all around us, for when God will punish a country or a church, he sends them bad leaders. Bad leaders. Yes, today Christendom is sleeping, as in the parable of the 10 virgins, where we read that horrible, horrible word. All slept. Yes, it doesn't say the wicked slept. Doesn't say that at all. It says all slept. All. Yes, the Bible says that time will come in the last days of the last days, that the very elect shall be asleep. All this evidence is fully researched and documented. You can look it up, look around today within counterfeit Christendom, who does not even believe the inerrancy of God's word, where light has become darkness and up has become down. And yes, in over 50% of the churches, they openly admit they are calling sin the new holiness. Oh, it appears as if Satan is loosed for a season. Oh, do we hear and do we fear? And are we bowing before an almighty God, knowing from his word there is blood on the altar, precious blood on the altar in the sacred courts in heaven? There is an almighty Savior, Jesus Christ, there interceding for sinners. Oh, we must always realize we are the lowly clay. He is the potter, but yet he has made a way in and through his Son by grace for the chiefest of sinners to be saved. Oh, I ask you this morning, have you ever become that chief sinner? Have you ever bowed before the Almighty God, confessing that? Have you ever been washed clean in that blood? Oh, how many in our day reply back, you have a disagreement with this part of God's word, with this part. Oh, if your disagreement is with God, with one word of his mouth, no. He who has the power to instantly create a whole new universe in the beginning. And he has promised 6 times in scripture that in the twinkling of an eye, in 1/70th of a second, he will create a new heaven and a new earth in that last moment of this time. Yes, do you know that powerful God? And do you dare to open your mouth in rebellion and disagreement against him? Oh, thousands and thousands and millions and billions do open their mouth against God and say they disagree with this, they disagree with that. Oh, let us put our hands to our mouths and simply bow before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, foolish man we are, foolish dust of dust. How dare we respond back to God in any disagreement, in any way, that we do not believe in the full inerrancy of God's word? And if we say stubbornly, I will not bow, God should have done this way or that way, or I would believe it if he did it this way. Oh, foolish man, how dare we respond against God and not bow? For God says to all sinners, repent, confess your sins, believe on me, take up your cross and follow me. In that instant, I will repent of my planned destruction of you and your sins. Oh, God says, bow your knees, be still. and know that I am gone. Bow before his great throne of grace today, on this side of the grave, before it is forever too late. For God has sworn, as we have seen in our scripture reading this morning, every knee shall bow before him. And that means you who say you will never bow before God until he does this or this or this, or you will never bow before God. You are your own God. Oh, hear the word of God again. Every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess that I am God. But what a great difference if that may come by grace on this side of the grave or on the other. Yes, absolutely nothing can happen without God. And we must always remember, even in that, God is not the author of sin. Never, never, never. For example, we only need to look at the greatest sin that was ever committed in the entire universe. The greatest sin, which was, of course, the crucifixion of God's Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Yes, every other sin in the world pales in comparison to that awful sin done by counterfeit Christians, done in the world. Yes, while awful, hell worthy, every other sin is punished. Yet all are far less than this most cardinal sin of crucifying the Son of God. Yes, this obviously was the world's greatest sin. Yet we read in Acts 2, verse 23, him, meaning Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Yes, Luke, through the Holy Spirit, is saying of this greatest crime the earth has ever seen, all those who crucified Jesus Christ were 100% guilty. Yes, 100% guilty. And that is true, even though they did it by the determinate counsel and will of God. It was God's will, and he even used the greatest sin in the world to fulfill his grand master blueprint of providing salvation for lost and undone and missing sinners. Oh, are you one of those this morning who know that old nature that still dwells within them? And are you one of those who desires to be more holy today than what you were yesterday? Oh, to such ones I lift up Jesus Christ in all of his glory, in his power, in his majesty, in his salvation. Look to him who hangs upon the cross, whose blood is upon the altar. Yes, God in his almighty power determines that. Now, many will say, I just don't understand that. I'm not going to believe it simply because it's in the Bible. Oh, then you are simply confessing that with all human minds, our minds are too small. Our minds are too puny. Our minds are too finite. Since we then lost all of our rights in paradise, there we declared and we were an enemy of God. There we made war with God. There we reject gone over there. In all of our sins we do is the same rebellion of Eve against God, rebellion against the sovereignty of God, and failing to understand our responsibility. Oh, let us repent of such rebellion that goes on in my life from my old nature that shall not die till I cross the Jordan by the grace of God. For God says, rebellion against me is so grievous. And the saints mourn, for rebellion is the same as idolatry. And remember that those whom God has taught his word have infinitely more responsibility. Yes, zillions of times more is a Christian punished than a heathen. God's judgment begins in the church. Yes, one of the greatest sins, other sins, is to diminish God by saying, oh, God couldn't do that, or he couldn't do that, or he couldn't do that. Oh, no, with God all things are possible, and to limit God in any way is outrageous blasphemy. God can do anything. He does do anything. Anything infinitely beyond what you or I can possibly even imagine in our wildest imaginations. Oh, not believing in that power, in that God Almighty, in otherness, is called unbelief, which is the next greatest sin in the world. To not believe God's word and the inerrancy of his word. Yes, God, in a way we cannot begin to understand, will reveal that to us, even though we know his saints know it not now. But it shall take an eternity to fully reveal the mysteries of God for all of his saints in heaven. More than eternity, so powerful, so huge, so majestic, so wonderful is otherness. Yes, God has determined that sin will happen. And yes, he not only allows and controls that sin, but he even hardens hearts, such as with Pharaoh, and he does it with you and me. For God not only allows sin, but in those who do wickedness, he actively works the elements of all sin. Yes, 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 God is above sin, but he allows it and he controls it to conform to his grand master blueprint from eternity. Not one jot or one tittle shall fall from his word. There is no chances, no mistakes. Oh, when the children of Israel said, in the middle of the desert, said, God can't provide us with flesh to eat. In unbelief, they said, they limited God. Yes, God sent innumerable birds to land near them to catch and to eat. But their unbelief was not good for many of them. For many thousands died who choked on the flesh of those birds and died in their unbelief. Oh, never, never, never dare to limit God. He can and does anything. He never sleeps, and his eye roves back and forth across the earth, looking for repenting sinners, looking for those who may pray. Oh, the Apostle Paul prayed for 35 years before suddenly God converted him and he began to pray. And what does God say to Ananias? Behold, Paul prays. Yes, both the light and the day are the same to God. God's word made light before he made the sun to produce it and the moon to reflect it. God says to sinning, corrupt Christendom, where Christendom is being destroyed today for the 32nd time, I will stir up a force against you that you cannot win. Look around, look around, look around. God is destroying Christendom where we openly, stubbornly believe 29 principles that directly contradict Scripture. Yes, how foolish is man? Science doesn't even begin to know how the sun works or how to cure the common cold. We're unable to use 10% of our brain. We can only see 10% of all that God has created in the universe. We can see nothing of the spiritual world where our soul is dead to God and to his word, unless we are renewed from on high by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, in paradise, we in Adam could see all these things. But how sin has corrupted everything. Yes, because of sin, we read, the whole earth groaneth in travail. Sin is that heavy weight. Sin is that monkey wrench into the works of God. Sin is what man wants, what man desires, what man covets in their allegiance with Satan. Oh, yes, we bow to Satan every day that we are unconverted. But God reigns supreme, and he says, every knee will bow to me, either on this side of the grave or on the other. We cannot escape the power of God, though we so earnestly, so fervently, so stubbornly desire to. Now, in our second point, our human responsibility. So often people say the two of them go together, as is said by a famous minister, they are as two railroad tracks, one track running next and parallel to the other, but that is a lie. Far more important is it to consider that when we look at human responsibility, is that God has not changed or reduced our human responsibility, which he gave to every human in paradise, and still demands of us to the last moment of the earth. God demands that same holiness which he gave. Either we will pay for it in ourselves, or it will be paid for by a Savior. Yes, every human in paradise had holiness. Not one iota was missing, and God still demands every single bit of that holiness of us, of you, and of me. That same perfect holiness and obedience that he created us with, God said in paradise, be ye holy as I am holy. And God is still saying that today. God still demands that today. Be ye holy. The same holiness that he originally created us with. That is our responsibility. Oh, have you ever learned that you have sinned against a good doing and a righteous God, and that you have lost that holiness you were created with in your sin? Have you ever earnestly desired to receive it back? Oh, then you are storming the throne of grace, storming where the altar where the blood is sprinkled. And there is an ever-interceding one, Jesus Christ, who can wash you clean, who can make you holy again, as what God made you and me in paradise. Well, perhaps there is someone here who says, oh, I can't be holy. I have sinned too much. And yes, that is certainly true. But you have not sinned too much for God. For then we would be like a person who killed his parents and then said, you must have pity on me because I'm an orphan. Or someone who cuts off their hands and then says, you must have pity on me. I can't work because I have no hands. The same foolishness. No, understand human responsibility starts with that confession. I have sinned against good doing and a righteous God. I have done this to myself. I need holiness. I need this great burden of sin off my back. As Christian discovered in the city of destruction, and God set him by grace on that pathway of righteousness. From the city of destruction to the celestial city, God made the high mountains of sin smooth places. He raised up the valleys of depravity to make us straight in a royal highway to himself. Oh, yes, there is salvation for lost sinners who know they are lost, who know they have sinned against a perfect God and become imperfect, know that they are responsible for what they have become, a worm of the dust who has sinned against holiness, perfection, righteousness. Yes, that is the beginning of responsibility, a lifelong repentance, the beatitude way of humility, learning by grace to know something of that old corrupt nature that dwells within me and is always seeking to burst out and to be in rebellion against God, instead of, as my soul loves him, to be made more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and to be made more and holy, more holy. Oh, yes, do you know God holds you and me responsible for what we did to ourselves? And due to him assaulting him with our old nature every day, and continue to and will continue to till the Jordan. Yes, God created you and me perfect in his image of perfection, righteousness, and holiness. And I threw it away. I trampled it into the dust. Because I wanted my way. I believed the lie of Satan that by sinning I could be like God and have a free will to do whatever I wanted instead of what God wants. To live free from God in riotous gusto of sin. Yes, to live riotously outside of His law. That is our human desire since paradise fall. That is our responsibility to restore, to be restored to that same holiness. Yes, that is proper responsibility, but it is a lie yet sadly believed by so many Christians today that they can simply say a few words and live their life with the world, in the world. No, God says you must become a new creature, desire new holiness every hour of every day. Yes, every knee shall bow before God. And God says, I will have a willing people in the day of my power. No, natural man does not have a free will. Even many in science and in higher education recognize that bitter fact that man does not have a free will. But how many counterfeit Christians do not believe that, refuse to acknowledge that we do not have a free will, but we have made war against God and will until He stops us on our mad rush to destructions. Our sins did this in body and soul. No, no, we cannot simply walk down a church aisle as what is believed in so many counterfeit churches today and mutter a few words and become a Christian somehow, some way, by simply having that one bowing before God in a church without any real life change. No, God demands we become new creatures in Him. God makes everything new. If you are the same after you became a Christian as you were before you were a Christian, all based upon God's word, we can say you are not a Christian. For a Christian, God has made all things new. No, you can no more become a Christian by free will than you can become a car just because you walked through a garage. No, 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 we must receive God's grace from outside of ourselves by the Holy Spirit. We must be transformed into a new person, a spiritual person, by the blood and the efficacy of Jesus Christ in His intercession. That's proper responsibility. Yes, we once had a free will in paradise before we sinned, but now by grace we have lost our free will. The best we could do, even if we did not one more sin, would still be only our duty. But a true good work can only be done by saints, by those who have the Holy Spirit sanctifying within them. Oh, in them that beatitude life becomes overwhelmingly evident. I have sinned against a good doing and a righteous God. And then, blessed are they who mourn. Oh, what an awful condition rebellion and murmuring against God is, or murmuring against any circumstances of God. God warns all humans Also, in our scripture reading this morning, woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? I made the earth, and I created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the hosts have I commanded to fulfill my grandmaster blueprint perfectly. How often we cannot understand that, or so cannot accept God's will in our life. Oh, then we must recognize, as we said already, compared to God, we are a drop in the ocean, an atom in the universe. Who are we to reply against God? He shall sweep away all of our objections as a cannonball sweeps away a cobweb. Oh, it need not surprise us that we do not understand what God is doing, because God is almighty, we are dust. And as we said already, it shall take an eternity to unfold all the mysteries of God in heaven for his saints. No, the wisest of saints can never begin to scratch the surface of the understanding of how God is sovereign over everything, and we are responsible for everything God gave us. Nothing happens by chance. Yet, as we said, God is not the author of sin. Never, never, never repeat such a lie. God has given us more than enough in his word for whatever is necessary to salvation. He does not have to give more, for we must simply believe, not engage in endless speculations concerning matters that God has specifically chosen for us to know. Paul begged God to remove his thorn in the flesh, reasoning that he could then serve God better. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is made perfect in your weakness. Not in your strength, not in your ableness. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are infinitely above ours. Oh, on that premise, we must look at God's sovereignty. On that premise, we must understand man's responsibility and understand then why God says and why God swears in our text, every knee shall bow to me, every mouth shall confess me. That is true human responsibility. Oh, I beg you, bow before the holy throne of grace today. Plead for mercy, for on that altar is blood, as we said, the Savior's blood. There interceding before his Father stands Jesus Christ, ever interceding. Oh, do you know him? Oh, on that authority, I lift up Jesus Christ before you today. As Moses has lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, look upon him who is altogether lovely and chief among 10,000. Oh, have you seen him with your soul's eye? No, not with your physical eye, but your soul's eye, shining with his head as gold, his face shining as 1,000 suns. Have you seen him trampling sin, riding that white horse of victory? Have you seen him conquering and to conquer from that sharp two-edged sword that proceeds out of his mouth, conquering lost sinners? Oh, who can tell? That can be you. That can be me. Hear the word of God today. If you have ears to hear, harden not your heart. Bow your knees before Almighty God, as is your sovereign, as is God's sovereign will and your responsibility. Amen.